Farm Agent Pete Euler offering Good Neighbor service, plus surprisingly great rates on auto insurance. Actually, if you were to contact Pete right now, you'd find you could have some of those surprisingly great rates and Good Neighbor service right away. As in, automatically. Give Pete Euler here in Emporia a call today. He thinks you'll be automatically happy you did. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
KVU News Time is 8:27. It is Newsmaker 2 time here today. Mary, the Crisis Services Director with SOS, is joining us here on the KVU Sutherland studio line this morning.
Mary, good morning.
Hey, Mary.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Just fine, thank you. How about you guys?
So far, so good. We're talking about a very tough topic here today, and that basically deals with domestic violence and stalking. And wanted to really start the conversation here, Mary, by asking you how much traffic you're starting to see in this regard here through SOS at the start of the year versus kind of what you had last year.
Well, I think we're starting off pretty much where we were before. Our numbers have not significantly gone up. But what I can tell you is we're seeing a increase in what I would call lethality, increase the severity of the abuse. All last year we saw the same thing. The numbers may not be higher, but the severity of the abuse is higher.
But those numbers aren't low by any stretch of the imagination, though, right?
No. Calendar year last year, we served over 500 victims at SOS Crisis Services, and that was through over 8,000 services.
That is jaw-dropping, that number, really, when you hear that. Now, is this basically, is this physical violence we're looking at, Mary? Mental, you know, psychological? What kind of violence are we looking at here for the most part?
All of the above. It's many times physical by the time a victim calls SOS, but not always. We're here for anybody who's in an abusive situation. Even if they don't really know whether it's abusive, you know, sometimes it's hard to discern if you're in the middle of it. So it could be verbal, it could be emotional, it could be financial, it could be sexual, it could be physical, on up to near death. And death, unfortunately.
That is unfortunate. And, you know, you bring up an aspect of this in the financial side that typically doesn't get brought up. At least it's not really highlighted when it comes to media sources. A lot of the other ones do wind up getting, maybe I'm wrong on this, but it does seem like a decent amount of attention, but the financial side doesn't.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't very regularly. It's not something that we hear about a lot. It does come up in conversation after somebody has revealed other forms of abuse. Many times the financial piece has more, I guess, is more of a pivotal point with elder abuse situations. If you have an elderly parent who has a regular income and then there's an abusive child who takes advantage of that and then exploits that person for their finances.
We're talking with Mary of SOS, Crisis Services Director, about domestic violence, stalking awareness, also through SOS. And, you know, we deal with domestic violence, and we've talked with SOS representatives many times over the years, and we have heard how dangerous of a situation this is. Obviously, for the person that has to deal with this, they're obviously frightened and a lot of times don't know where to turn and how to get away, and that's why SOS is here doing what they do. What do you recommend for people that may be in this situation, Mary? How can they, you know, what avenues do they have to turn to?
My number one piece of advice is to talk to someone. Talk to a trusted friend. If there's nobody there, a trusted friend or family member, call SOS. We're here. It is simply a matter of exploring options, okay? And that's what we're here to do, is help you explore options. We hear myths, if you want to call them that, that a person has to leave the abusive relationship to work with SOS. That's not accurate. We'll talk with a person and help a person and plan with a person. We do a lot of safety planning, even when the person is in the midst of the abuse. The one person who knows how to deal with that is the person who's in the middle of it.
Mary, for folks that are trying to leave a domestic violence situation or a stalking situation, and in sometimes an extremely urgent situations, what do they need to do to reach out to SOS? And then, I guess, is there anything that they need to either have with them or, I guess, maybe have in the memory banks to start the process here and to get away from their immediate situation?
Sure. If a person has time to plan, it's always good to think about necessary paperwork, necessary phone numbers, things like that. You know, have your birth certificate, your social security card, things like that put aside or left with a friend, something like that. However, many times there's not time to plan. And I would encourage people to, if they're comfortable, if it would not escalate the situation, they can always contact law enforcement. Many times with different abusers, that will escalate the situation. They are always welcome. People are always welcome to call our 24-hour helpline. It's 800-825-1295. And that line is answered 24 hours a day.
Mary, obviously you deal specifically with the victim, and maybe I should put that as victims, because when we deal with domestic violence, there are children involved, and I know that you do a lot for the kids of domestic violence victims here at SOS, don't you?
Yes, we do. We try our best to do everything we can to support the non-offending parents and the children who are affected by all of this. The whole idea is we want to break the cycle. If children can be healthy in their relationships, then we can see a lower number of domestic violence situations in the future.
Do you find then, Mary, if I'm reading your statement correctly, that a lot of domestic violence criminals, we'll put it that way, have suffered from having their parents involved in the same situation?
I'm afraid that there is some generational, what do I want to call it, trauma, okay? You know, a person would not be controlling and abusive to another person if they were healthy emotionally. So we have to look at the long, in some places you'll hear it called the river of cruelty. And so we have to look at the trauma that people go through and try to break that chain, that we don't want that trauma to continue.
Mary, again, Crisis Service Director, joining us here with SOS as the Newsmaker 2 slot continues. Mary, for folks that would like to be get the information here later on, if whether they want to pass it along to a friend, whether they need it right here and now, how do they reach out to SOS and get their process started so, you know, friends can be good friends to those that are in trouble, and those that are in trouble get the help they need immediately?
Sure. Well, the first thing is, if you have a friend who is in a negative situation, listen, be ears, have an open heart and an open mind. Don't judge them for being in the middle of the situation. It's not their fault. So be a good friend, listen, encourage them to call us. Help them call us. Be there with them when they call us. Come in with them. Try to be that loving support.
Mary, before we let you go, we mentioned stalking. Is that something that's prevalent around here? Do you see a lot of stalking victims here?
Sure. We definitely see stalking. It's not as prevalent as domestic violence. However, we do see it. It's one of those victimizations, I would say, that is not talked about as much as domestic violence or sexual assault, and it can be just as dangerous and just as life-altering. So, yes, we do see it. We don't see as high numbers, and that could be because people just don't recognize what stalking is.
So how is stalking defined? When is stalking, when does that become a crime? How is that looked at? That would seem to be kind of a difficult thing to draw the line there.
Yeah.
It can be. I think the two main factors for me really stand out. Number one is the pattern of behavior. Okay, we're not talking a one-time thing that somebody was outside your work when you came out. It's a pattern of behavior. It's over a course of time. Okay, so that's number one. Number two is it puts that person who's being stalked at fear for their safety. So if I come out of work and somebody's there, I see them, and then I see them again at Walmart 3 hours later, and I'm not fearful about that person, that person, it was coincidental, then that's not stalking. But if I notice that person is there because of me and I am intimidated, I am fearful for my safety, that is stalking.
Well, Mary, I really appreciate your time joining us here today, and best of luck with the efforts, especially given the high amount of traffic and the severity of the cases that you're dealing with. Really appreciate you spending some time with us here this morning.
Yeah, thanks for all you do, Mary.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
Have a good day. That's Mary, a crisis service director at SOS, unfortunately keeping very busy.
Unfortunately,
with,
yeah.
Sexual, domestic violence, and stalking here locally.
Yeah, and again, if you would need more information about SOS, call 620-343-8799.